Hey guys, it's your boy, Michael Saylor. Just kidding, Michael Garza here. So I think Bitcoin sucks. I think Michael Saylor, I want to talk this episode. By the way, Bitcoin is for suckers. This is becoming a docu-series in a sense where there's no B-rolls and it's just my jelly rolls that I'm showing you. Bitcoin sucks. I'm sorry. Bitcoin is awful. All crypto is grifter currency. Enough said, but what else can I say? Except for you're welcome. I'm helping you. I'm saving you from a life of something. I don't know. Bitcoin sucks, is all I'm trying to say. The whole point of this live video series is to expose the hypocrisy and the ridiculousness of all things Bitcoin, crypto, you name it. But yeah, I put Bitcoin in the title because it's a good way for it to get seen. Am I clout chasing? Sure, but I am not getting on the bandwagon though. I have the balls to admit that the crypto bros don't like me. That is okay, and this is the reason I do this, is to get more hatred from the crypto bros. I don't like the crypto bros. I think they're ridiculous and terrible people in general. So, crypto bros, I just want to say one thing to you. Go F yourselves with a double-sided dildo. Take that double-sided dildo if you can, and do what you want. Anyway, so we're talking about Micropenis Strategies. This is a company that, if I were to come up with a company or some sort of hedge fund. Actually, I could see myself coming up with a hedge fund title called Micropenis Strategies. And it would be a software company too, just like Michael Saylor's MicroStrategies. I think they're a software company, I can't remember. Anyway, Michael Saylor is proof positive, a great example of somebody who's highly intelligent, but just doesn't understand the concept of how money works. He's an intelligent guy. I'm not ever gonna take that away from him. He really is a smart dude. But sometimes intelligence can turn to arrogance real fast. You see this with people like Cathie Wood, except for I think Cathie Wood's just arrogant. I think she's actually kind of, I don't know. I think so many people have kissed her ass over the years that she thinks that she is some sort of savant. So Cathie Wood, you're not in Michael Saylor's territory, but Michael Saylor is actually an intelligent dude. Like, I've seen the guy speak. He really is. He conveys concepts and ideas very well. He's very good at explaining them, far better than I could ever imagine myself explaining them. But the one thing that Michael Saylor seems to lack isn't common sense, because everybody commonly believes. The average person believes that Bitcoin is worth something only because the price of it goes up. The truth is, Bitcoin itself, it's just an extension. It's just a part of an algorithm, entire network of computers. And yeah, can it never be really taken down? Probably not. My boy Always Skeptical said some micropenis guys are winners regardless of intelligence. Channeling that anger can be a great driver of wealth. Sure. That's probably why I'm wealthy. No. At 2 inches, 2 inches of snow can cause a lot of damage, and so can 2 inches of this cack. Just saying, no, just kidding. Oh, Lordy. Let's see. Oh, Always Skeptical saying, let's say guys shorter than 5'6" anger wealth. Well, I am about like 6'1", 6'2", roughly. So I'm kind of a taller dude. I don't have that angry wealth. I do understand, like, my brother's shorter than me, so he always just felt like he's had to do a lot. He never, like, things came easy to him, actually. So the whole short guy thing, some people are just more, what do you call it, easier to converse with. And my bro is more of a, just easy, just a more of a people person. I'm just autistic as shit, probably. always consider that I'm intelligent, but I'm also kind of socially, I wouldn't say socially handicapped. I can be a life of the party guy, but it's not a preference. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. What I want to talk about, though, is, look, if you like Bitcoin, that is fantastic. That's great. I will not take that away from you. If you want, I think the best way to get Bitcoin, even though it's a little tougher now, is to mine Bitcoin, but that's going to take up a lot of electricity. But if people think that it's a long-term investment, then maybe they should join a mining, what do you call that? There's like a cloud of miners who all mine Bitcoin collectively, and they share in the reward. But that's if they want to. You would have to use some electricity for sure to get that Bitcoin. But if people think that Bitcoin's going to be worth even more, then maybe it's worth it. Personally, I got in early on Bitcoin, and now I just bet against my position on Bitcoin because it's one way to make extra money, and I really don't believe in the Ponzi scheme that is Bitcoin. I don't ever intend on selling my position. I just intend to bet against my position because I really don't believe Bitcoin is worth anything in reality. The perception is that, yes, Bitcoin's worth something. That is the perception. But the reality is, let's take a step back. Truth be told, take out the internet. You need technology, first off, to even hold your Bitcoin. You need like a USB drive, you need something. So the thing is, anything could take it out at any point. Not against it, though, if you're just, you know, I got in early. I thought it was a cool idea. But I realized that when people were pumping up the price of it, I realized that there was a Ponzi scheme element to all this with everybody trying to, I'm sorry, I'm not conveying my words properly today, but just everybody was really forcing the whole Bitcoin narrative on everybody, telling everybody that, hey, it's the future of money. Now we have ETFs that are buying Bitcoin. And here's the thing. Here's my crackpot theory. I believe that institutional investors are now trying to buy up as much Bitcoin as they can, not as a long-term investment, but to simply drive the price up because they know that the demand will increase the higher the price gets because retail investors are not very smart. And I'm serious when I say that. Retail investors, and I'm a retail investor. I used to be an idiot. But now I'm not. I think like an institutional investor. And that's the whole point. You want to think not like a retail. There's ways to think. You could either think like a rich dude or you could think like a poor dude. I mean, there's in-betweens, but for the most part, that's pretty much it. If you're an investor, how are you going to invest? Well, rich dudes are all about the long term. And everybody always says, I don't have that much time. It's like, well, you don't need that much time. You just need to take the money you make, try to lead a low-end lifestyle, and invest in real assets like crazy. Give me one moment, by the way. I got to... one second. Got to get some pizza. Yeah. Got a burrito, and I got a pizza in the oven as well. But always skeptical. I like your input, my man. It's good input. Give me one second, though. I got to check something on the phone. Okay. Nothing cray cray. Give me one more moment. So I am kind of hoping that this series becomes a lot more popular. The Bitcoin is for Suckers series. We're on part three. Now, the reason I'm doing as many parts as I can is for one, the first two parts got pretty popular. People seem to want to watch it. Don't know why. Maybe it's because people can't stand me. They hate watch me. Some learning way. I'm a noob. So, okay. So Kostya is saying some people win in it. I'm a noob. So learning why such opposition about Bitcoin. Well, first off, Bitcoin, I'm not against it in its, I'm not against Bitcoin in itself. I'm against the fact that people think it's worth anything. I think I'm trying to find my words. You guys, I'm stumbling today, really stumbling. But here's the thing. Bitcoin in itself is great. The software is fantastic. I love the whole blockchain technology concept. It really is pretty dope. Ain't gonna lie. I think it's cool. But we also have to, and I'm not going to say be realistic, because I'm not realistic in any investing that I do. But I will say that Bitcoin in itself has an intrinsic value of zero. You really can't put a dollar amount towards Bitcoin because it's tough to actually value how much it really is worth in reality. The reality is Bitcoin isn't worth anything. The perception is that it's worth $71,000, I think, the last time I saw it. But Bitcoin has been so incredibly volatile in the last few years that, like, I don't know. Nobody can agree on what it's really worth. And the only time it goes up is, the only reason it goes up is because social perception of it is that it's worth something because it's at a high price. That's a fallacy, because just because something is at a high price does not necessarily mean it's valuable. It means that it could be misvalued. The crypto markets, first off, are very scammy. I'm going to just say it right now. The price of Bitcoin is ridiculous. And look, yeah, it could go to $100,000. It can go to $1 million per coin. Not because it's worth anything, it's because people are afraid of missing out on a quick, easy buck. It is simple as that. So let me just read some of the comments real quick. Always Skeptical is saying, Kostya, he's saying, at Kostya, it's about long-term versus short-term. Do you want to think short-term or long-term? Kostya says long-term, of course. I'm learning from y'all. I appreciate the live and intel y'all provide. Always Skeptical saying, at Kostya, I'm a long-term investor. It is never sexy. Kostya also says, prices are ridiculous. I've discovered. Yeah, the prices, I really do believe that any amount of cash money that you pay for any crypto is too much money. If you have to pay a dollar for a whole Bitcoin, that's too much money. If you have to pay $70,000 for one Bitcoin, that is too much money times 70,000. What I'm trying to say is, look, natural value matters. Natural usefulness matters. Natural demand matters. Now, the only reason there's demand for Bitcoin is not what it can do. It doesn't do much. Even transactions are pretty slow throughout the Bitcoin network, and there's transactional fees that nobody ever talks about. What's frustrating to me is that people think that I hate Bitcoin. I don't hate Bitcoin. I hate the grift that it has become, and I should have expected it because I knew about Bitcoin even back in 2013. I got in pretty early, just as a FYI. Never sold. And I only got in as a gamble, just to let you know. I didn't think it would go as crazy as it did. I was just like, fuck it, I'll buy it. I forgot about it. Funny thing. And so what I'm trying to say is Bitcoin in itself is cool, but it is not a currency. It's not an investment. It's intrigue. More than anything, it's intrigue. And could that be a little bit harsh to Bitcoin? Sure. It could be a bit of a harsh statement, but it is what I believe, and it's what the evidence suggests. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, I'm a long-term investor. Yes, it is slow. And I don't proclaim, and there's risk in investment, by the way. Always risk. Even if you're diversified, there is always the chance of crazy volatility happening. Market turbulences, the future's never truly guaranteed. But I will say this, if you're going to invest in something that you know is valuable. If you know it's valuable, then put your money where your mouth is. But if you know that it isn't valuable, maybe just avoid it. And I firmly believe that Bitcoin isn't valuable. There are people out there who would argue with me. And if you are somebody who thinks Bitcoin is valuable, fine. Put as much money as you want down. I just want to give you a fair warning that it is a pump and dump scheme. It is a Ponzi scheme at this point. Bitcoin itself hasn't changed. The actual software itself hasn't really changed. It is outdated, for sure. Anyway, so Kostya also said, prices are ridiculous, I've discovered. Agreed is another thing he said. Always Skeptical says, as Garza will reiterate, minimize expenses, maximize income, and invest growth mutual funds. I mean, I'm not a big fan of mutual funds, but it's better than nothing. So yeah, go for mutual funds if you want. I'm a big index guy. I prefer index, like S&P 500. Anyway, I'm going to keep reading. So Always Skeptical also says, I've made 100K plus in 10 years with a long-term mindset. Never got Bitcoin regardless. Lower return, lower risk, year over year. And yeah, and that's the thing, man. I really do believe that buying solid companies is like buying a great house. It's not the best analogy, but it's something. If you buy a great house in a great neighborhood in a great location and you got a good price for it, that's always the goal. That's one of the reasons why I invest during bear markets more than anything. I still invest continuously even during the best of times, but I bet I invest even harder. I invest even more money when bear markets happen, for sure. I still keep a good cash load on the side because you never know when a crazy crash will happen in the market. So it's, you know, you still want a dollar cost average. My philosophy is during bull markets, I'm usually investing 15 to 20% in stocks. I'm always pretty much in stocks. It's pretty much my portfolio. But anyway, during times of uncertainty, when the market's kind of like, up, down, up, down, up, down, a little wavy, maybe do 25%. But once we get to bear market territory and there's like massive sell-offs, like 5%, 6% down in a day for most companies, you bet your ass I'm buying the S&P 500. I'm buying as much of it as I can because it's just a good deal. If the market kept dipping and kept dipping and kept dipping, I would be buying ETFs like a madman. I'd be buying S&P 500 ETFs. I'd be buying anything, really. I don't care. It could be the whole entire market. It could be the VTI, which is like the, if I remember right, that's like the U.S. one, entire U.S. market. And then there's an international one for Vanguard. You could actually get the Vanguard Total World Index if you want to invest in the world. But yeah, the Vanguard Total World Index, for example, just kept going down. I'd be buying as much of that as I could. I'd be racking it up because you're basically getting all the world's businesses essentially at a low price. Always Skeptical is asking, Garza, what cash percentage do you hold of your portfolio to take advantage of bear markets? I try to keep 10% of my... Sorry, I keep coughing. Woo, I got a little dusty in here. I got to vacuum up a little bit. But 10% typically in cash. 10% of my portfolio usually remains cash. it's kind of give or take, though. It can lower. But yeah, during uncertain times, or if I see a really good investment, it's just too good, I'll put a little money down into that investment. But yeah, I'm usually just invested. But the thing is, you want to sit on a little bit of a cash pile. in the event, and you still, I don't even really dive into the cash pile. The cash pile is just there to be there. It's just there to be there for the most part, just to kind of balance out. Because even though I don't see cash as an asset, it can be a little bit of a hedge during uncertain times, especially because I don't have to borrow that money. It's there. Another thing I'd like to mention is, what was the other thing? I kind of lost it. But yeah, the 10% though. Most of the time though, like I said, most of my cash that I invest comes from any income that I have, whether it's through DoorDash stuff, whether it's through my work from home job, blah, blah, blah. Any income that I have is typically funneled right in pretty much. I don't even really spend money on myself that much. I mean, I spend money on obviously making myself look pretty, you know. Well, I'm not that pretty. I got my shampoo, my conditioner, body wash. I spend a little bit on that. But, you know, I cook all my meals at home. The only time I go to a restaurant is if my girlfriend really wants to go to a restaurant. That's an exception I'll make. But yeah, for the most part, I don't spoil myself at all. I mean, I consider homemade meals spoiling myself because I prefer a homemade meal because I'm the one who's cooking it, I guess, because I know what I'm doing. Well, I wouldn't say I'm a good cook. I got to stop doubting myself so much, but let's see. Oh, well, okay. Well, my dad actually is asking. My dad's asking the question. I've asking the questions. I've got a micro penis. What should I do? Okay. So with micro penises, so my dad wants to know what to do with a micro penis. And you put it. If you find somebody with a micro penis, I don't know. Suck on it. That's up to you. Everybody has their own desires, their own sick desires. But anyway, enough about micro penis strategies. That's my best micro penis strategy right there, is just find somebody with a micro penis, ask if they want to bang, you know, depends on what you're into. So Kostya in the live chat is saying, so you really win in stocks over time mainly. Any immediate luck sometimes? Haha. Now, Kostya, the thing about immediate luck is this. Instant gratification is a gambler's mentality. It really is. I'm not a big fan of it. Let's see. But yeah. Always skeptical saying, Garza, that was so West Coast of you. Those micro penises, I can't help it. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, overall, I think that if you're looking for immediate gratification out of your portfolio, that is a bit of a gambler's mentality, and it's something to avoid. I don't know. I think gambling is a loser's game. I've seen people successful at gambling, but that's not many. If you're going to bet, I don't know, make sure the opportunity makes sense. I bet against Bitcoin. I also hold Bitcoin. So it's like, really, there's no gamble there. So it's kind of like there is immediate gratification to it in a sense. So if you are going to try to go for immediate gratification, I guess you could say this. For immediate gratification, make sure it's low risk, high reward. So what I'm doing with betting against Bitcoin is an example, and I didn't make an error when I said that. I'm going to say it again. Low risk, high reward. Low risk, high reward. Simple. So the reason I say low risk, high reward, not high risk, high reward, because you can do low risk and you can have a high reward. So me getting into Bitcoin early, I didn't spend that much money, was a risk, but it paid off because it had immediate gains. So I thought, well, I never sold, still haven't sold. Bitcoin's still stupid, by the way. And I'm a hypocrite for holding it. But since I never sold, how can I make money off of it just in case I'm wrong? I bet against it. There's the key. I've been betting against it during a bull run. So there's one, there's no risk to me at all. Any losses that I have from the bet against it are all gained by the appreciation of Bitcoin. Boom, sweet. But I will say that I bet against Bitcoin for sure. It's fun. For me, it's low risk. Only reason it's low risk is because I have the position of Bitcoin already, and there's been nothing but gains on it. So it's crazy. Betting against Bitcoin is only takes about 15% of my portfolio. it's something that I've been doing for fun because I just, like I said, all the losses that I have on the Bitty ETF that allows me to bet against Bitcoin has been supplemented by the unrealized gains from Bitcoin itself. Like I said, I don't ever plan on selling Bitcoin, but I do swing trade the Bitty. The Bitty ETF, like I said, allows me to bet against it, have a short position in a sense by proxy. It all wins in the end anyway. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but essentially, no matter what result happens, there's no risk to me, is the whole point. So low risk, high reward. There are opportunities, but you got to get creative. And I wouldn't jump into any crazy opportunities like that. I would say low risk. If you're starting in investing, low risk, low reward is the way to go. Okay, so the Bitty ETF, the reason I don't hold on to the Bitty ETF forever, and the reason I keep Bitcoin is because, one, there's no expense ratio on the Bitcoin that I hold. So I know that sounds odd to say, but the reason is I've bought a lot of Bitty. And what happens is it has an expense ratio, and this is the only downfall of the Bitty, is one, it bets against the price of Bitcoin, and it has a 1.33%, I'm going to say it again, 1.33% expense ratio. That means for every $100 I put down, $1.33 is essentially going towards the existence of the ETF itself, the exchange traded fund. So the expense ratio over time would be a little annoying, but you can swing trade the Bitty ETF because of the volatility. Eventually there should be a crash in theory, and I'll be able to keep selling off some of that position over time, and then a lot of that profit will end up going towards actual investments like basically dividend paying stocks. So it's really the whole idea of the Bitty is a way for me to fund my portfolio, even though technically there are temporary unrealized losses on the end of the Bitty. Because I just keep buying as the Bitty dips. I don't know. I'm not the best at explaining it. I try. I'm getting better. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. If there was no expense ratio to the Bitty, I would definitely hold on to it forever. But I don't know. It just seems better to kind of take it off the top. Because I've been able to buy a lot of the Bitty during the bull run, which means I got the Bitty at low prices, which is pretty sick. And then if the bull run ends and it starts going into bear market territory for Bitcoin, I can, you know, take home a little bit of profits here and there, and then get right back into the Bitty again once Bitcoin goes up on another bull run. The bull runs are pretty predictable for Bitcoin. For the most part. I'm not saying I know the exact date when it's going to happen. I'm not that good. I'm no Miss Cleo. Hell no. Anyway, sorry if I lost anybody. I know I tend to be a little crazy with it. But yeah, the best thing you can really do is I don't know. If you feel like betting against Bitcoin, that's up to you. Nothing here is financial advice, just financial theory, financial thoughts. Here's the thing. I don't want you guys to invest like me because, well, I mean, in my mind, in my desires, I think it would be okay to invest like me because I don't think my investment strategy is all that bad. It's long term. I'm diversified, but I don't want people to feel like they have to invest like me. I don't want that. See, I don't want a cult follower. I don't want people following me like a cult. You know, I want people thinking for themselves is really what I'm trying to encourage. Really thinking through what they're investing in, and I just hope people have done their due diligence about Bitcoin itself. And I came to the conclusion about betting against it. So there is an element of luck to what I've been able to accomplish, for sure. But not all of it's luck-based. There's an element, but not all of it is. It's just making the determination that I don't want to spend my money on frivolous things in life. And I do enjoy being a minimalist, for sure. If you look behind me, obviously my kitchen's always a mess. I'm always in my kitchen. Even my desk over here is a little bit of messy. I got some cleaning up around here to do. You got to clean your room, as Jordan Peterson would say. But yeah, the Bitty ETF really just gives me the, if you want to know in a nutshell what Bitty ETF really is it's an ETF that holds on to a lot of options contracts that bet against the price of cryptocurrency, basically Bitcoin only. So that's why when Bitcoin goes up in price, the odds are in your favor to bet against it. Because a Bitcoin bull run can only last for so long, in theory, until people start getting greedy. And the thing about retail investors is they get greedy real fast. And eventually they all start selling because they're like, wow, I made so much money off Bitcoin. Whoa. So they sell. And then when people see the price of Bitcoin go down, they start selling. It's a chain reaction. So when everybody starts seeing the price of Bitcoin go up, they get in, the price goes up even further. And then when there's no more demand, because everybody's run out of money to put into this pump and dump scheme, then they all start. So the thing is, always skeptical saying options scare me. I'm a female dog. So this ETF gives you exposure to those options contracts, but it doesn't mean that you yourself have to do any of the options trading. So you're essentially, by using the Bitty ETF gives you, think of it like hiring somebody. That's why the expense ratio is there, by the way, because the managers of the Bitty ETF, they do all the heavy lifting. They're doing the options trading. They're making the options contracts to make it all work. So that's the beauty about outsourcing to an ETF. And that's why there's such a high expense ratio. Because one, you get a very good reward when Bitcoin crashes. I will say that. The rewards outweigh the expense ratio, for sure. The expense ratio is like, so this is a cheesy analogy, but think about it this way. Think of the 1.33% expense ratio of the Bitty ETF, like the cherry on top of a sundae, right? Well, you do want the sundae and the cherry preferably on top. But you realize the sundae is really what you're truly after, and if you don't get the cherry, you're not going to cry. So the expense ratio in this instance is the cherry, and that cherry goes to the managers of the ETF, and whereas the sundae itself, you get the sundae. I also stole that analogy a little bit from The Big Short, just to let everybody know. But, yeah. So essentially, I'm really totally fine with using the Bitty because I don't have to do any of the options trading myself. All the options strategies are done by the actual management team at the ETF. So another thing about the Bitty ETF is, and the reason I'm not going to hold it forever, is I have other things that I'm holding forever that are real assets. And so that's one another reason why I don't hold on to something that's options based forever. I use it as an income generator. So the Bitty for me personally is truthfully an income generator. No more, no less. Because I'm not selling all the Bitty. I buy a lot of it during the bull run, but when it starts, when Bitcoin starts depleting in value, I then just kind of start selling 2 shares, 3 shares, 5 shares here. But usually when the Bitcoin bull run happens, I'm buying tons of Bitty, tons of Bitty during the bull run. So anyway, this is, by the way, none of this is financial advice. All financial theory. And I recommend talking to a financial advisor or doing your own due diligence before ever listening to a crackpot like myself. Just going to say that right now. Also gets rid of the liability. Basically, use your brain. If you think it's worth it, great. If you think it's stupid, what I just proposed, that's good too. I want you thinking for yourself. Let's see. Always Skeptical is saying, why not just completely leave BTC-related stocks options? Wait, hold on. Why not just completely leave BTC-related stocks options, ETF, etc., untouched? Well, untouched. What are your projected returns? So I don't really... So here's the thing. I don't know how long people are going to be obsessed with Bitcoin. I don't. I honestly don't. Even though I think it'll eventually go to zero, I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong. That's one of the reasons why this is why I say, you know, you should swing. I think it's good to swing trade it, me personally. Because I have a good idea of what the future holds with the stocks that I invest in, because I know that they're well-established systems. I only like using the Bitty ETF as just a swing trade play that I can use to fund my portfolio for the actual long-term things that I really want to invest in. And hey, if Bitcoin goes up on another bull run, I just buy more Bitty again. So it's really, I'm playing with house money after that. So I had to make a determination because I firmly believe that you should have something in your portfolio that you can swing trade. And the Bitty ended up being one thing I chose in my portfolio to swing trade because I thought, well, it's so volatile. You know what I mean? Bitcoin itself is so volatile that you can use something like the Bitty to your advantage in a way of generating cash flow through the ups and downs. That's the only reason I use it is just to generate cash flow for my portfolio. It's not like if Bitcoin crashed right now, like really crashed hard, I'd make a lot of money off the Bitty for sure. I would just sell here, sell there a little bit. And most of that money, that profit would straight up go into, I don't know, probably REITs, real estate investment trusts, or just great companies in general. As long as they pay a dividend, as long as they have good cash flows, and as long as they pay a dividend, that's all that really matters to me. And by cash flow, I mean earnings, straight up. The problem with the Bitty, Ann, is just like I don't see options ETFs like the Bitty as a forever hold. You know, I wanna hold on to things that I feel can last for a long time. And that's really it. I mean, it's about all I could think of at the moment. Sorry, my answers, by the way, you guys, are probably not what you're expecting for some of them. Like, I firmly believe that, well, the Bitty's great for making a quick... I really do think it's a quick buck play, for sure, the way I'm using it. I mean, hey, if people want to do a long-term hold on the Bitty, they're probably not in the wrong at all. Probably be a good idea in some way. So I don't know. It's up to you. But if I were to project, it's all a very bad guess. Because I don't really have any good projections on it. All I know is that anything with an intrinsic value of zero eventually goes to zero, but I don't know when that eventuality is. And that, therein lies the risk, is time. So. Yeah, and it's really just, I mean, there's a lot of investment theories about having a swing trade play in your portfolio. And I chose to make the Biddy that swing trade play. Well, I mean, why not? It's volatile. I believe that Bitcoin would crash faster than it would go up. It's a belief, but I should always consider that you may be wrong. It's a big deal. And there's no risk to me because, like I said, I already own Bitcoin. I already got into Bitcoin early. So, and also you get taxed. So if you sell, if you sell Bitcoin at a profit, I do believe that you get taxed at a higher rate. So that's another thing. With this options trade, it's not even options trade. With the Biddy, though, those options contracts are only betting against the price of it, not the actual Bitcoin itself. So that's interesting. So I'm really just betting against the price with those contracts. There's no direct cryptocurrencies involved. So I think if I'm right, and I might be wrong, just to let everybody know, I think you get taxed less on a profit from the Biddy than anything else. So that's my thought process on it. It's also easier to keep track of selling shares too. Like with Bitcoin, it's kind of harder to keep track of when you sold and when you bought, in my opinion. I love being able to sell shares of something. That's more fun for me because it's an easier measuring stick. I'll just keep swing trading the Biddy as my swing trade play. And I'll just kind of let my Bitcoin sit, call it good. Just kind of hedge myself just in case I'm wrong. Hedging is good. Some sort of hedge is always a good thing, in my opinion. Just to say it right now. Got some Mug root beer. Nope, not Mug. A&W, my bad. Wrong brand, wrong product placement. A&W, the ball is in your court, by the way. I don't know if A&W is a publicly traded company. Who owns them? Oh, wait. No, Dr. Pepper 7-Up Incorporated. Oh, okay. I'll look that up. But yeah, no, always skeptical, man. I just hope I help in some way, bud. Really, the smartest thing you do, diversify as much as you can. Still think crypto is a lousy investment, but you might as well own a little bit of Bitcoin. Exposure to things, even if they're stupid, is a good thing. How much you expose yourself, though, is the key. It could be the problem or it could be the solution. Like, this depends. And, just make sure you're exposed to everything you can and call it good. For now, I think I'm going to end this live stream for the time being, but always skeptical. I just want to say thank you for taking the time, as always, to get in on this crazy action. One of these times, though, I do need to do another StreamYard live. I'm only doing this from OBS Studio at the moment. StreamYard allows you to easily get people in the live event, so I actually do want to get one where I got you and my boy Tim Smith. If you feel like at one of these times, I don't know when, I'm not very good at planning out things. I do a lot of these spur of the moment. I've been kind of busy lately, so I've been trying. Whenever I have an extra moment to get in front of the camera, I just hit the live record button and I start going off on tirades and drinking root beer and putting this shit up my ass. Maybe I'll butt chug root beer. I'll save that for OnlyFans, though. If I decide to go on OnlyFans, if I decide to take that route, oh, God. Nobody wants to see that. More people would probably pay me to put my clothes back on OnlyFans. Anyway, always skeptical. Thank you, bud. I appreciate you. Kostya, thank you for chiming in, too. I hope I can help in some way, partner. But anyway, to anybody who also wasn't in the chat and they were just watching idly, thank you for watching idly. Appreciate it too. Always skeptical is saying that I'll schedule it. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll have to find a way to, I will figure out something. We'll figure out something, but yeah, just, trying to think Can't remember if I sent email. Hold on. I'm not the best at checking my email, but here is my email. Hold on, I gotta make sure I got the right one. Yahoo.com. There is no, so it's just MikeGarza007 at Yahoo.com. But yeah, let me send that to you real fast. Yeah. So if you ever want to, you know, if you ever ran any ideas or you want to like, be like, hey, what time works best for you? Burp. So, oh, sorry about that. I did not mean to burp like that. Yeah. Ever feel like getting on, man? We always, I try. Right now, I'm just kind of like doing whatever right now, but, but yeah, StreamYard, I will say that I'm very grateful that StreamYard exists because of the sole fact that StreamYard lets people join in if you put the link out there, which is super dope. Oh, my boy White Eagle is saying you should be sorry about that. Damn straight. But, yeah, one of these times I need to do like a StreamYard orgy where I get like everybody I can, try to fit them all in one screen, like invite everybody I know. Like, I can invite my boy White Eagle. I can invite my boy Tim Smith. Get Always Skeptical on. My other biological stepson. What the fuck's his name? Aiden. My boy Aiden. It's like from Baltimore. Total stud. Works for Amazon. Pretty interesting kid. but yeah, no, I could do a StreamYard orgy. Just be like tons of people. Probably just doing this. You know, we're all virtually doing this, so. But I put this in my ass. Put something in my ass. But but yeah, no. I said I was gonna end this, but I'm trying to think if there's. I just feel like there's something I need to mention. Gotta be something I need to mention. What is it? Get Ryan Reynolds on StreamYard. That'd be sexy. Mm. All I know is that Daddy needs to eat. I haven't really ate much all day. Got done doing laundry a little bit ago after I was done working. But so I found, so fun fact, actually, yes, I remember this vid, by the way, this last part of the video probably applies to nobody because I don't think anybody I know owns a Pixel. But to anybody out there who owns a Pixel 5, I found out a little bit of a hack. Simping for Biden, by the way. Yes, Eagle, I am always simping for Joe Biden. I love Joe Biden. He's number one. Mm, oh, God. It makes my buns hurt. Anyway, so if you have a Pixel 5, there's some. I'm going to probably make my own independent tutorial on this pretty soon. With the Pixel, the Google Pixel 5, you can go into the SIM card settings and set it to LTE as your preferred network, and I'll tell you why. So with the, I don't know if the Pixel, the later versions of the Pixel are probably better with 5G, but the Pixel 5 is fucking garbage with 5G. It runs better with LTE. Straight up runs way better with LTE. Well, I'm going to text message, hold on. Oh, okay. Ah, my boy, the Eagle. Let me see, I gotta respond to my boy, the Eagle, who's already on here. But this is like straight up text message here. Let's see real quick. Okay, cool. Yes, want to send my boy the Eagle, who is on here already, a message. We're trying to figure out probably some D&D. Always the D&D shit. Kale time, not jail time. No one owns a pixel. My emojis give you. Live stream from my place. Woo! That'd be fun. Live stream from the Eagles. That'd be sexy as shit. I could bring my laptop too. That'd be cool. Actually, you know what? I could just stream right from a phone. My phone camera is just as good as my actual normal webcam. So, pretty sexy. It's very sexy. So, wait, is this saying... So, it's keep saying that I've used more and more data. How much data am I using here? Oh, that explains it, because I was at the laundromat. Yeah, duh. One moment, everybody. Sorry about that. All right. So, yeah, so you can set the Pixel 5 to the LTE setting as your preferred network, and it runs so much better. So it's not faster than 5G, obviously. 5G is obviously faster, but the way, I don't know if it's the antenna, I don't know if it's the way the Pixel 5 handles 5G connections and the data transfers. LTE is just way more reliable on a Pixel 5, and it's something I figured out recently because I was doing some DoorDash, and dude, the reliability for 5G on a Pixel 5 that's unlocked is garbage. It's flat fucking garbage. So make sure that if you have a Pixel 5, which is probably nobody out there, but even though I may be shouting into the void, make sure that you select your preferred network is fucking LTE. And I'll even show you guys, because if you have a phone that sucks with 5G, this actually applies to you too. So to all you Android users, except for you, White Eagle, because you own an iPhone, shame. I'm gonna iPhone shame my boy White Eagle real quick. Let's see, consensual technophile, Mike bites back hard. Oh my goodness. So here, I'm going to show you guys real quick. So you want to go to settings first on your Android. I just want to make sure I don't show anything too thing. Anyway, so boom, there's your set. You're in your settings, boom. And now what you want to do is you want to scroll down to, hold on, where did I go to get this? Oh, yeah. So you want to go to network and internet is your first place. So network and internet. All right. So now that we're there, we're going to scroll down a little bit. You know, scroll. Well, you don't just scroll down that far. So you'll scroll down to where it says Sims, and you'll see where it says Mint on there. So let's go to Sims. And then I'm just going to go to where it says Mint because that's my active one right here. So we're going to go to Mint. And then from there, so you're going to scroll down a little bit. You're going to go to where it's called preferred network type. And then from there, it'll give you a selection. Boom, selection. You got your selection. Bam. I prefer LTE at this point because it just seems to work a lot better. So like I said, LTE is not faster than 5G, but the way that the Pixel 5 handles LTE is a lot more smoother than 5G because it doesn't have as many interruptions. There's something about, I don't know if it's the antenna, I don't know if it's something. But 5G data transfer back and forth between the cell tower and the phone, it just, there's something that's just not working right. But LTE, I had an LTE phone beforehand. It was the V20. LTE was always fine. I don't do anything highly intensive anyway, but if you do things like DoorDash or you just watch YouTube on data saver mode, LTE does the trick. In fact, if anything, on the Pixel 5, LTE works better as far as it goes because there's a lot more of a consistent connection with LTE connections, and you're not going to like, it just, I don't know. I tested it out yesterday and oh my God, it was a world of difference. So you just want to make sure that your preferred network type is LTE. That is super important, you guys. I cannot stress that enough. If you have a shitty phone like I do, which Pixel 5, all in all, software and hardware-wise, is actually pretty decent. but for some reason that fucking antenna. Anyway, enough of that rant. But my boy said, my boy White Eagle also said, I farted in Mike's chair last week. It is still in there deep. Sims 4 or Sims City. I haven't played Sims in a long time, but Sims 4, from what I remember, is pretty dope. If it's the same Sims I'm thinking of. CDMA or iDen. Oh, God. Oh, God. CDMA all day, baby. CDMA, baby. It's my preferred. I'm all about that life. Phones have come a long way, though. Seriously, like mobile networks. Oh, it's all come a long way. But I'm a Google Pixel fanboy for life. In fact, Google, ball's in your court now. I asked A&W shamelessly, by the way, if they would plug my show, if they would sponsor it, but they're probably going to say no. They might even send a cease and desist letter, a cease and stop drinking letter. Or Google, I could be the face of Google Pixel. That's a fair possibility. As I always say, though, ball's in your court, Google. From smoke signals to iPhone. All right, boys. Boys and girls, I'm out. I got some shits I gotta do. I gotta clean up the place a little bit. It's looking a little shabby in here. Do some dishes, clean the counters. Clean this goddamn desk. I gotta clean this damn desk. All right, folks. Anyway, later. Just don't touch yourself too much. Drink Barks or we will sue. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, later, everybody.